Hi, everyone. This is Maddie Hayes. You may know my amazing husband, Big Daddy Goose. My love is currently out smiting dredge or healing acolytes or some brave deed, and he will be short on words today. But he wanted me to extend our warmest greetings to all listeners far and wide. Welcome to Guildcast. Enjoy the show.
Good job, baby.
Amazing. You really want me to say amazing? Don't you think that's stretching it a little? What about my loving husband, or better yet, my adequate husband?
Okay, that's it. You're done. Thank you.
My sufficient husband.
No, now you can go, okay? I
think the man I've been married to for 11 long years.
Okay, now cut that out. Give me back the bow, too.
Aw, I want to keep the bow. It could come in handy with the kids. If they get too hyper, I could just pin them down.
I don't think that's a good idea.
Fine. Can I at least keep the armor?
Oh, okay.
Sweet! I heard all about everything. I felt in the way. I heard all about everything. Would you be okay? So, you're spinning your wheels. You're digging your wheels. Don't mind.
Hey, everyone. Welcome back to the 75th episode of Guildcast for July 1st, 2007. I'm your host, Sean. Well, if you're wondering why I'm saying 75th episode, and you're still looking for 74th episode, well, the 74th episode actually didn't make it to the feed due to some small technical difficulties, but it's a video episode, and it is available for download on the show notes on guildcast.com, in the show notes for episode 74. So you can go on there and download it either in Windows Media version, or there's a QuickTime MP4 version as well. I wanted to make this episode here, 75, to discuss some of the recent news, and I also wanted to read some listener email, and also just to inform everyone of the last episode's location, since it's not in the feed, like I said. Also, I mentioned that Lady Sinea and I, and possibly Cal Agram, would be recording a show together in San Francisco when I was out there last week, but we never really got a chance to sit down and officially record anything, so I do have some little tidbits of audio that I've added to the end of this show that I recorded in San Francisco. Some people who asked to be mentioned this week include Tom Fireblade, Night Doesn't Fall, Lord Kemris, Kmart Special, and Poseidon's Rage. Also, Lysander wanted to send some thank yous out to Kai Luli, Methos Starflyer, and Lady Sinea for the unexpected but much appreciated ritualist green weapons and offhand gifts that they gave him. So, even though we didn't really record anything significant at the Guildcast meetup last week, I'd still like to just take this opportunity to thank everyone who made the trip out there and the people who, you know, that hung out with us for a whole day. I'm going to post a group photo in the show notes for today, but there are also some pics already up in the forums, the guildcast.com forums, under the lounge section in a post called Guildcast Meet and Greet Conclusion. So thanks to Lady Sinea for being party leader and running us through the San Francisco map. Thanks to Ashdi Konkono and his wonderful family for the buttons, sharpies, hospitality, and for making my jaw hurt from laughing so much. Thanks to Eric, also known as Saint Olaf, for not dropping my co-host into the San Francisco Bay. Thanks to the other Eric for the awesome cookies and requesting more assassin jokes. Thanks to Cal Agram for calling us all noobs every 4 seconds. And of course, thanks to Sarah for being the female version of me, as always. A few weeks ago, I did an interview with Michael Zenke, the editor of Slashdot Games and a regular contributor to Mog Nation and 1UP.com. The article he did, he actually interviewed me, and it was for Escapist Magazine. And it's basically about MMO podcasts, the article is, and how they're creating a community within their certain MMOs. You can check it out at escapistmagazine.com. And of course, I'll put a link to the article itself in the show notes for today. It's a really good article. You should check it out. So this episode here will basically just be some news and emails that I wanted to catch up on. I wanted to start out with a little refresher on the news of the upcoming chapter, Eye of the North. It seems that there are tidbits of news all over the internet concerning the release date and other non-official news, so I wanted to remind everyone that unless it's announced by ArenaNet, you can't really depend on any outside news. Still, though, with that being said, most sites are speculating at around October 31st for a release date. And again, ArenaNet has only officially stated a release time frame of Q3 of 2007, which is right around, around October or so, somewhere around there. But they've also said holiday 2007, so it could be right around the last part of the year. As for more news on this expansion, I'll post a few links to some great articles in the show notes for today, with some more screenshots and interviews with some of the devs. As I read through these pages, these articles, that were concerning the news of the expansion, I made some notes of the things that I found most interesting. First off, the major changes of Guild Wars 2 will not be implemented in Eye of the North. This will still be using the current game model, and there will be 8 skill slots in your bar, and there will still be the 8 player parties. Much of that is said to change in Guild Wars 2. So anyway, here's some little points that I picked out here. Number one, there will be a total of 10 new heroes available in Eye of the North, including Asura, Norn, and Dwarven heroes, but no Silvari. One of the very first heroes you'll get in the game is a Norn hero named Jorah. I'm really happy to see they're continuing with heroes, and I hope that they do that in Guild Wars 2 also. They actually mentioned that with this expansion, you'll be able to access heroes without the need for Nightfall, so that's a bonus for those of you who don't have Nightfall or don't really plan on buying it. Point number two, there will be a significant tie-in to the original Tirion Lands of Prophecies, with the Far Shiver Peaks playing a large role. This includes the Shiver Peak Dwarves and what's said to be a malevolent force known as the Destroyers. You may remember in Sorrow's Furnace there is a lore concerning the battle between the Dwarves and the Great Destroyer. Alright, point number three. It's said that there will be 4 distinct storylines that you can follow in Eye of the North. Actually, there's supposed to be 3, and then there's the last one that you can't access until you finish the other 3. But it's kind of like a choose-your-own-adventure, and there will be 18 levels of dungeons throughout the whole game. Each storyline is supposed to follow a certain race, like there will be one for the Asura, one for the Norn, one for the Dwarves, and one for the Char. You will be able to cross over between these storylines also during the game. Point number 4. You will be able to box Dwarves. Enough said. Point number 5. There will be 150 new skills introduced, 50 of which will be PvE only. Yet no new professions. Hallelujah. So basically, the impression I get from everything that's been said so far is that Eye of the North will be like an expanded version of Prophecies and Sorrow's Furnace, which should really please many of the original hardcore players. It will tie together Guild Wars 1 and Guild Wars 2 with lore hints and introductions to new races. Now to read some emails that I've selected from the last month. But first, I'm going to play a voicemail I got.
Hi, Sean, Lady Sinéa, and the other guy whose name escapes me at the moment. C'est votre auditeur préféré. I would just like to know if you've heard any technical details about Guild Wars 2. My fear is they're making it for Vista with backwards compatibility for Windows XP or something like that. It's just that there is that entire DirectX 10 stuff that's Vista only, and all the software issues programs have when they try to run on the operating system they weren't specially made for. I saw the mess that Vista is at the office, and of all the things I've heard about for the upcoming sequels, this is my biggest fear. I would just hate to have half the experience only because ArenaNet designed their game for such a flawed operating system. Anyways, keep up the great work. This is Baron Ragnarok.
Well, from what you've heard, you'd be absolutely right about this, if Guild Wars 2 was to come out tomorrow. But I think by the time it comes out, in about like 2 years from now, whenever they're speculating its release, Vista will be working as probably as well as it should be, with most bugs ironed out by then. Right now, though, there are huge games coming out that are probably going to be severely hindered by its association with Vista so early in the game, like, for example, Shadowrun and Age of Conan. But hopefully by the time GW2 is released, Vista's dodginess won't be even a concern, really. All right, so let's get on to the next email. It says, "Hey, Sean, just asking if there's a way that it's possible that you've done something to not get gold and green drops from farming or something. I'm a BP Ranger who's been doing Sorrow's Furnace Tombs runs for over 6 months now and have gotten one green drop. And I'm not exaggerating or anything. One. And through the entire time I've played GW, I've gotten 7 golds, when just today, the first time my friend ran as a BP through Sorrow's Furnace, he got 2 golds and a green. This seriously pissed me off, and I'm thinking about quitting Guild Wars entirely, and I'm pretty much convinced that Anet hates me. Well, even if I do, I'll still listen to your show because it's so awesome. But before I do get angry, punch my monitor through, and quit, I wanted to know if there's a way you could let me know if I might be doing something wrong to not get golds and greens. Thanks. If you want to PM me instead of email me back for some reason, it's Monarch of Ranging." Okay, Monarch. Well, number one, I'd say ArenaNet does not hate you. You're a paying customer. So it's pretty, very, extremely 100% unlikely that they're singling you out for any reason at all. For me, personally, you know, it's funny you say this, though, because I've actually not really thought that ANet hates me, but there have been times when I'm like, what's the deal here? And it actually got to the point where it was kind of a joke, especially with lockpicks for me. I went through, when I was farming Sunspear points, I was going through in hard mode as a worm, and I was killing the undead in the area outside of Gate of Desolation. And I was doing this run over and over and over and over and over again to get the max Sunspear title, right? Well, during this run, you run into probably 2 or 3 locked chests each time. And each time I do this, I would break a lockpick every single time. And it wasn't until weeks and weeks and weeks of playing probably hours a day just farming these. I mean, I probably opened probably 10 locked chests a day. Well, when I was able to play. So maybe 40 a week, I would say. Maybe, yeah, I guess that would be about fair. About 40 lock chests a week, and I was breaking every single lock pick I ever had. I even have the Treasure Hunter title, and I have the Lucky title. And every lock pick I had, I was breaking. It took me weeks to actually retain a lock pick. Now, why am I telling you this story? Well, it's because at the same time, I was thinking the same thing. I'm like, what is the deal here? What is, you know, this is ridiculous. I'm supposed to have like a 3% chance with the Treasure Hunter plus another 3% chance with Lucky. It was getting really frustrating to the point, like I said, it was getting to be a joke. But I think it just works out that way. I mean, you might be able to go out and find out that you can unlock chests and you get to retain a lockpick every time. Someone mentioned one time how they retained a lockpick 9 times. Which I think is amazing. I can't even imagine that. But at the same time, you know, my luck spread a little bit differently in different areas. Like, not to make you feel bad, I guess, but every time I go down to Sorrow's Furnace or I do Tombs, I always get at least 2 or 3 greens every time. So I guess it's kind of, I guess it's give and take in the luck department here. So I would say, you know, if you're getting frustrated with this, try something else. Go try DOA, or go try something in hard mode. Go try some locked chests, you know, and just see how your luck might change with that. And certainly don't stop playing the game just because of this. You know, I would say you have other avenues to explore when it comes to luck in this game. So who knows? You might go through and do a Sorrow's run and get 3 or 4 greens one time, and then, you know, then you'll know your luck caught up with you. All right. Anyway, let's get on to the next email here. Now, this one's pretty long, and it's the last one I'm going to read. I'm just going to read the whole email, because it's basically a story, and there's not really much I can respond to it. But it's another one of those emails that I got where someone was scammed. I know I've read at least probably 2 long scam emails before, but I don't think you can read enough of these, because I think that each one has its own little twist to it that I think can help people out. So here we go. "Hello, Sean. I want to send you this in the hope that you will read this on the Guildcast, so that the listeners may get the information I am giving you now, because I think it may be a help or at least a little something to awaken their minds a little. What I'm going to talk about is hacking of Guild Wars accounts. To me, that has become the face of true evil. I'm first going to tell you my story. I've played Guild Wars for 18 months now, and for 1,900 hours. About a month ago, I was on top of my career in Guild Wars. I had almost finished my FOW armor on my warrior, he's my main character, and I had a little more than 4 million experience on him. In addition, I had 7 other level 20 characters. I was really proud of what I had accomplished, and Guild Wars was really fun. Then suddenly one day when I logged on, I looked forward to finishing my FOW armor, but when I logged on, I saw my character was missing armor on the parts that before had obsidian armor on them. Well, not too bad, I thought. Armor bugs in the character selector often occur, right? Well, then I logged on him, and I found him in Virgin Hot Springs for some reason, but when I checked my inventory, I noticed I really missed my FOW armor parts. I checked and double-checked my inventory and the storage and all my characters, but it was nowhere to be found. And then I noticed all of my weapons on that character were gone. And then I randomly checked my material storage and saw that all 45 Ecto and 20 shards were gone too. Oh, what a great loss. It really made me sad. About 200 hours of farming value was gone in thin air. But an accident rarely comes along, does it? I contacted NCSoft support and told them what happened. I got a list of things I needed to do to secure my account. I was told to change my password on Guild Wars, but I discovered that could only be done from some PlayNC Master account that I didn't even know existed. But to get this account back, I needed to verify the following things. What first and last name did you use when you created the account? What physical address did you use when you created the account? What email address did you use when you created the account? What birth date did you use when you created the account? What are the 25-digit codes for all games you added to the account? What are the last 4 digits of the credit card used on your PlayNC Master account? What is the creation date of your Guild Wars account? You need a fax of your access key, a copy of the original, and you need a fax of your proof of purchase, if still available. Okay, that was not actually a piece of cake for me. The proof of purchase for Prophecies? Well, I finally got my account back, but that was only after 2 weeks of doing nothing, actually. And guess what? Right before I got it back, and I could change my password, the hacker had done the following in addition to the above. Kicked all of my active members in my guild, and deleted every item and character on my account. That was my story. Now you might wonder, why am I telling you this? Well, the answer is plain and simple. I don't want this to happen to you. You might think, well, it's just to create new characters and play again. But I'm telling you, it's not. If you have played about 1,500 hours or more, I ask from you, think back. Think of the details of your Guild Wars career. Can you see how insanely much you have actually done? And then imagine all of that just disappearing. Think of a character selection screen with only gray spots, knowing that you have nothing left but the unlocked skills. It's hard, yes. Even I, who see myself as addicted to Guild Wars, was just an inch from quitting for good. It was simply such a sad experience. I listened to the DOA episode yesterday, and guess what? It made me sad, along with the other things I didn't notice before, like people with obsidian armor, people that sold nice things on the street, and a lot of other weird stuff that are cool in Guild Wars. What basically happens is all of your knowledge remains, but all of your possibilities of doing what you used to do disappears. Now I'm going to help you try to avoid this by simply giving you some simple advices. I'm going to start with the official ones that I got from NCSoft. These aren't actually advice, but things that may cause your account to be hacked. Number one, giving out your email address and using the same password for things such as your email account and accounts on forums. That's actually something I've mentioned before. Number two, installing third-party software. For example, software not created by NCSoft or ArenaNet. These could be programs that claim to be item modifiers, cheat programs, or even harmless-looking programs such as attribute and skill calculators or die calculators. These programs often contain a virus or a keylogger that steals your account information. Giving your username or password to friends is another thing that you need to watch out for. Even though you may think that you can trust them, there are cases in which friends take items, delete characters, etc. without permission. And in addition, I have some from myself, he says. Don't stand in a city, or even when on team with somebody you don't know, telling how insanely many ectos you have, or how much money you have, etc. This might sound weird, but there are things that may get a hacker's attention in-game. Number two, be critical. By this I mean that you shouldn't answer all questions from any person freely. I'm not telling you to be an antisocial curse word, but I'm just telling you to watch what you say to strangers. And number three, if someone asks you questions that make you think something like, why the heck would this someone ask such questions, back off. This may be signs that a bad guy has got interested in you. Again, I don't say that you should not be helpful. I don't say that you should be antisocial. I'm just telling you to think a little bit of how you act. Thanks for your attention, Kar Barsar. Well, my only comments for this, I guess, are, you know, I've had scam warnings before on the show, and I dedicated quite a long time to one, actually, where I talked about a lot of the things that he says here. You know, don't give out your email address or your... especially your password. And the best thing you can do, the best situation, is create an email address strictly for Guild Wars, strictly as a username for Guild Wars. And the best way you can do this is Gmail, Google Mail, Yahoo, things like that. Just don't even give it out to anyone. Just make it strictly for Guild Wars username. And then for the password, of course, don't use, you know, I think I used the example of Paris Hilton's dog's name. It was in her cell phone. Password, and that's how it got hacked. Yeah, don't do stuff like that, because especially if you know people, like if you're in a guild and you don't really know all those people, you might think you do, and then you start talking to them about your favorite thing in the world is, you know, your cat, and then you tell them your cat's name, and then they're like, one day they're like, I wonder if that's his password, and sure enough, hey, it's his password. I have access, actually, to several accounts. One of them was actually my best friend's account, and he said he was going to stop playing Guild Wars, so he gave me the username and password. And I go on there to basically just for storage for a few things. And even then, you know, I trust this guy. I know him really well. I've known him for a long time. But even then, I'm still not going to put valuable items on this account just because of the fact that who knows who else might have access to his password or his username. I could not be the only person that he gave that information to, so I don't store really valuable items on those mules that I have on that account. But that's just an example. There are other ways that you can get scammed, like he mentioned, you know, if you brag, which I believe in episode 63 was one of the things that I said, how not to suck at Guild Wars. Don't brag. So, you know, you brag, and then somebody comes along and says, this guy's being a jerk, I think I'm going to try to figure out what his password is. And sure enough, you know, that could happen. There's a lot of things that can happen, but there's also a lot of ways that you can protect yourself from being scammed. So just watch out, you know, just be careful. Take this guy's advice, take the advice of the other emails I've read from the other people who have been scammed, and take my advice. Just don't give out passwords, create an email just strictly for Guild Wars. You really can't be too careful when it comes to protecting something that you've put so much time and energy into. Now, as for game news, I wanted to go over a few of the updates of this last week. Nothing too major, but some items I thought would be of interest to players. On Friday, June 22nd's update, they made the following changes. To encourage active players in alliance battles, we have adjusted the faction's rewards, increasing the rewards for winning teams and decreasing the rewards for losing teams. The new rewards are as follows. During the battle, players will now earn 1 faction point and 10 Balthazar faction per kill. After the battle, players will now earn 1 faction point for each point scored by their team. Players on the winning team will be awarded a further bonus of 1,000 faction points. Now for competitive missions, to encourage active players in competitive missions, we have adjusted faction rewards also, increasing the rewards for winning teams and decreasing the rewards for losing teams. The new rewards are as follows. In the Jade Quarry, after the mission, players will now earn 20 faction points for each Jade Slab collected by their team. Players on the winning team will be awarded a further bonus of 750 faction points. In Fort Aspenwood, after the mission, players will now receive the following rewards. Kurzic players will receive a faction point reward of 2x the final completion percentage of the Vengeance of the Gods. Luxon players will receive 40 faction points for each unique gate destroyed during the mission. Players on the winning team will be awarded a further bonus of 600 faction points. For auto-targeting, they added the ability to toggle auto-targeting To enable and disable this feature, players can use the auto-target foes when there's no chosen target checkbox in the general options panel, which is F11. Auto-targeting will no longer select an item that is reserved for another player. Hero Battle's group size has increased from 8 to 64 players to 8 to 128 players. Now 7 rounds are played instead of 6 because of the increased group size. And finally, Char Salvage Kit was added to pre-searing in Prophecies. The Char Salvage Kit is a rare drop and has 5 uses. So that'll do it for another episode of Guildcast. I thank you all for listening, and be sure to look for the next episode in about 2 weeks with a theme of vanquishing tactics, covering some tips on vanquishing certain areas, as well as listing some of the easiest and most difficult areas to vanquish in all 3 chapters. The episode following that one, in about a month from now, will be all about how non-gamer friends and family view Guild Wars and your playing of the game, possibly obsessively. It'll be a Skype call-in show, like the one I did quite a while back, where people called in and they could talk live to Lady Sinea and I on Skype, and I'd record the whole thing. Basically, what you'll do is you'll call in and tell me about some story pertaining to someone in your life who may not understand your interest in the game, or maybe even a story about a non-gamer friend who you got into Guild Wars, and how they reacted to the whole thing at first. It's just something that's going to be about the relationship between you, the gamer, and non-gamers. This Skype call-in show will take place on Friday, July 27th at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. If you won't be able to make it at this time, please feel free to leave me a Skype voicemail with your story, or you can email me an MP3 file to guildcastshawn@gmail.com. That's guildcastshawn@gmail.com. I'll announce something about this again on next week's episode to remind people, but I wanted to get the word out as soon as possible to give listeners a notice well enough in advance. So until then, you can reach me at sean@guildcast.com and Lady Sinea at ladysinea@gmail.com. And as always, be sure to tell your friends and tell your guildmates about guildcast.com.
My name is Sean, and I have Gamer's Tan. What did
you say? So do you have anything to say?
To the listeners of Guildcast?
No.
Awesome.
This is the microphone, right?
What should I say? Should I say how much I hate the listeners, and see if you can edit this later?
No, you shouldn't say how much you hate the listeners. They might get upset.
That's good. I'm glad a lot of them didn't show up, because, you know, I really hated seeing the guys that were here.
Yeah, they were all kind of creepy, especially that Ashti guy. He was like, whoa.
Now that you've completely alienated all of the listeners, would you like to add anything else?
Yeah, the 2 main hosts, they suck too.
That doesn't make it all better.
Sarah stubbed her toe and needed a Band-Aid and had to fill out some forms in triplicate to get one, but why didn't she just ask for a simple, like, Morrison of Healing that would have been all better? I brought Extinguish, you know.
You mean amend condition because it was bleeding.
Yeah, but straight heals work too.
Yeah, but they wouldn't get rid of the bleeding.
The bleeding wears off by itself.
Yeah, but she might have bled to death in the meantime.
Not if I continue to put Healing Breeze on her.
Healing Breeze is for noobs.
No, it isn't. That skill is awesome.
Uh-huh. Sure.
Yeah, let's see you monk better.
I could monk better if I was a dead fish. Because I'd be a monkfish.
Yeah. Back to you, Sean.
None of this will be used in the Guildcast episode. Note to self, erase everything.